Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with the Executive Director of UNESCO Creative City of Music, KC, Anita Dixon, and partner and Senior Vice President of Development and Capital Markets, Robert Farmer. Back in 1987, U.S. Congressman John Conyers introduced H.R. 57. It's in order to preserve jazz as a national treasure, rightly. Moving forward to 2022, a group of dedicated jazz enthusiasts from Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Washington, and even Philadelphia, came together to discuss the strategic connectivity that cradles jazz cities as it pertains to jazz music and the musical journey of jazz, creating the H.R. 57 initiative. This includes Kansas City's 20th and Vine St. Castle project and so much more. They open up about this. Enjoy.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Oh, man. It's been a little bit busy, but I'm doing very well. Thank you. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, same to you, man. Yeah, I think if everything's worked out and the technology magic is intact, Anita's on the line as well.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Anita. How are you?
Hey, on my way someplace.
Absolutely great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me here to talk about this important project that's taking place in a town that Anita and I love very much and try to foster the best jazz environment possible. So thank you for taking a minute out.
Outstanding.
What I would like to do for the sake of making this the best, most digestible audio for the audience is to kind of upfront deal with this as though it's an inverted pyramid, who, what, when, where, why, and kind of let's talk about your role in the project and what this project is, and then we can kind of dig into the emotives of why this is so important for a town like Kansas City. So first and foremost, introduce yourself, Robert, and kind of your role in this important project in Kansas City.
Sure. So my name's Rob Farmer. I have been back and forth in Kansas City in and around the 18th and Vine Jazz District for probably the better part of 20 years. My daytime job is I'm a real estate developer, and we are developing the South Vine Street corridor in conjunction with Weiser Dixon, and we're doing about a 22-acre master development, including the Kansas City Castle. Then we are also the master developer for 63rd and Prospect. So I've been back and forth in Kansas City for some time. With respect to my role, I have been hearing about Anita Dixon and all the wonderful work that has been going on in and around her Kansas City UNESCO City of Music initiative. And I'm just a jazz lover in general. I'm originally from the city of Pittsburgh, where we have our own jazz culture. My role effectively as a person who enjoys the music, et cetera, was to see if there was some kind of commonality in a link. And there's a whole backstory to this that I can get into, but I was introduced formally to Anita in probably December of 2021. And we just said, what a wonderful thing to put together, you know, a way to honor jazz music, its culture, and its impact on society, and celebrate kind of these nodes, these cities that have been so instrumental over the last 100 years in jazz, and see if we can celebrate some connectivity. So one thing led to another. We put good heads together, got some great folks from a national basis to buy into it, and we formed what we call the H.R. 57 initiative. So that's kind of my little bit of my background and role, and certainly I can expound. As Anita knows, I can be very verbose.
I love it. That's a great backdrop. So Anita, from your perspective on this, I'm going to dig a little bit into this. How vital and important is this for what I believe Mayor Cleaver began years ago with the 18th and Vine initiative, and just to develop what we love in this town, which is jazz?
Actually, you know, over 40 years ago is when I got involved. I was in my 20s and met a gentleman by the name of Eddie Baker here in Kansas City. He was a musician who had helped to save the Mutual Musicians Foundation. He helped to save that for the Wrecking Ball. And he came up with this idea called the International Jazz Hall of Fame. Don't know if you've heard of it or not, you know, but it was a great big idea that came through Eddie Baker. Well, I started getting involved 40 years ago because the history of Kansas City's jazz was something you didn't hear about. You heard about New York and how Charlie Parker left and how he was in New York, and but you didn't hear all of those stories about who Step Buddy Anderson was, or Andy Kirk, or Jay McShann, or even the swing era of jazz. We had successfully buried that information. So once I wrote UNESCO, you know, we've done the story on that. Once I wrote UNESCO, it became imperative that we start putting together and reconnecting the dots to this jazz history as economic development. Now, here comes this guy, Rob Farmer, who's doing an immense economic development project right in the middle of the area where all of this music flourished back in the day, right? So it seemed like it was only logical to pull those things together and make music a centerpiece as economics also. A lot of people didn't think about that because our UNESCO Creative City of Music is the only creative city of music under the UN in the United States. So we have this tremendous opportunity to mesh all this information and reconnect all these cities to each other, because essentially, you know, while jazz was thriving, it was thriving within the urban and black communities of the United States. So let's bring that back out. Let's make that understood.
So for somebody that's adventurous, that loves the city, that gets out and sees it, especially jazz, kind of lay this out, both of you, in your own respective way. Lay this out. What am I going to go to see and to get involved with once this project is done?
So, Anita, what I'll do is I'll talk about the real estate side of it and then certainly ask you to tie into the jazz connection to it. One of the things that we're doing, being from a town, again, from Pittsburgh, oftentimes people will, from out of town, will embrace the experience much stronger than the folks in town. And I can tell you, to a person that I've talked to about this initiative and even going forward, when I tell them we're doing a project near 18th and Vine Street and they're a jazz person, boy, all they want to do is to talk up 18th and Vine and jazz and Kansas City and Charlie Parker and Jay McShann and everybody else. And, I'm just honored and blessed to be with a group that is redeveloping what I think is one of Kansas City's jewel assets, which is the Kansas City Castle. And that's going to be one of our launches. So to your question, what's going to happen, you know, in Kansas City as part of our initiative is we're going to be redeveloping that asset into just a wonderful experience that will feature jazz music, but other lifestyle brands down there. We're also planning on doing a hotel. So as people want to come in and experience all the wonderful things that are the 18th and Vine Jazz District, some of the existing assets as well as the new assets that are coming on. There was a big groundbreaking celebration that happened, I think, on Wednesday. They're going to be able to continue with those efforts down on South Vine Street at the Castle Building. And our objective is to embrace the community, embrace the jazz music, have folks come down, and certainly we'll have some future announcements about who the tenants will be. And I think what you're going to ultimately see there is that building, along with some of the other things that we're doing down there, are really going to help to enhance the jazz experience in and around the South Vine Street corridor. So, Anita, you may want to talk a little bit more about the jazz experience there as well.
And Joe, when you have that kind of development going on, it's important for people to understand that music and creativity is also development. It's also creativity. It's also economic development. All you have to do is look at what's going on in New Orleans and Nashville to understand that that is their main commodity, their music. The music draws, the festivals, the various things. So you've got a hotel in the middle of, you know, where this historic information came from. Everybody's going to want to be in that hotel. That means we can draw meetings, conventions, various things. There's a nightclub. Of course, you know, we're on the circuit still, and, you know, one day we'll get into talking about the Chitlin Circuit and its significance. But still, you know, if somebody's in St. Louis, it's just another hop, skip, and a jump to come to Kansas City and bring that same level of going on. We're developing this system, this ecosystem that will not only support the physical built environment around us, but the creative industry also, okay? Well, paying musicians and getting in that important dollars and things that bring those things, those sponsors, and things that brings that kind of thing to a city. We're developing that now. And, you know, when we get into talking about H.R. 57, that's even a bigger part of something on an international basis.
So this is definitely something you wouldn't have to sell someone like me on. I get it. I'm into it. I'm all for it, and I'm looking forward to it. But, of course, when you develop anything in a major city like Pittsburgh or Kansas City, you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people that are going to be like, well, why? So my question to you is kind of playing devil's advocate, so to speak. Why is this project vital and necessary, not only for the development of Kansas City, but for the preservation of one of our main exports here, which is jazz?
Okay, so Joe, let me just give a little bit of backdrop. There are always going to be naysayers, but this is not a Kansas City initiative. This is, as Anita said, this is an international initiative that, you know, in effect was birthed in Kansas City by a meeting between Anita and myself. And just to give you a little bit of backdrop on that meeting and why this thing came about. I was actually on 18th and Vine a couple of years ago, and I was coming out of your jazz museum. I think I was in a meeting with Bob Kendrick of the Negro League Baseball Museum. And I came out, and I was walking down the street, and Anita heard this story. And I was walking and looking at your Jazz Hall of Fame, your stars that you have out in front, looking at all the wonderful names. And I had to stop in my tracks and scratch my head because not being from Kansas City, but being in Kansas City, I saw a name down there that I got a little offended by, quite frankly, because when I saw the name Mary Lou Williams, being from Pittsburgh, I said, well, she's not yours, she's ours. How dare you claim one of my jazz jewels? And so, you know, little arrogant Rob Farmer, I started telling people, you guys can't claim Mary Lou Williams. And we started a little friendly jab back and forth. But what happened out of that, Joe, is what I realized in talking to folks is that there was no link of these cradles of jazz, these wonderful cities that were so important to jazz music. There's little in the way of documenting the journey between these two cities. Some folks have done some things. I think Deanna Witkowski has done a wonderful book. Carol Bash has done a wonderful movie out there. But there's a lot of similarities between the two cities. And that's kind of how the H.R. 57 initiative came about, is talking about how do we celebrate the linkages between these wonderful cities, not only Kansas City and Pittsburgh, but then wrapping around to New Orleans and Chicago and St. Louis and ultimately Philadelphia and New York and these other cities that were great cradles. Bringing those things together, celebrating the music, but also celebrating the journey, the education behind it, where these folks lived, where they hung out, grabbing that experience. So when I say this is an international initiative, and to your point about the naysayers, et cetera, this is a movement that's going to attract folks from far and wide. Just by word of mouth, we have people coming in for our inaugural functions on the 30th, that are going to be coming in from as far away as Washington, D.C., the greater D.C. market. We've got a group of folks coming in from Pittsburgh. We have folks coming in from New Mexico, folks coming in from Texas. This is before we even formally launched. So I don't think the naysayers that may be around Kansas City will make an impact based on the positivity that this kind of an initiative and putting Kansas City out there as a true cradle of jazz is going to represent.
And understand that H.R. 57 is a 35-year-old House resolution that was passed by John Conyers back in, I want to say the day because I'm not counting the numbers,
1987.
That made jazz an international treasure. This is the reason why we have International Jazz Day worldwide and the Herbie Hancock Institute and all these people that are the purveyors of this music that go all around the world with this. It's because of H.R. 57. Okay, so the initiative is meant to get those who were the cradles of this to come back together and get them to realize that the connectivity that we have is what's going to push this engine even further for us, particularly here in America, now that we have this UNESCO designation. You know, you can go to other countries, Copenhagen and Hanover, Germany. There is not one country I've attended in the last 4 years, there's been eight of them, that did not have a jazz initiative of some kind. I went to Pesaro, Italy, and went to see their new museum that was dedicated to the opera star, you know, Figaro, the guy, oh God, I'm old. But at any rate, you know, we're walking around seeing all this ancient information because he was born in 1650 in Pesaro, Italy. But we get to the basement of this museum, and it's a holographic jazz set. Miles Davis. You know, all these people. This is in a city that's been around since 1490. How come they have a holographic tribute to jazz in a museum where they're celebrating one guy for his music? What made jazz so significant? So these are the things that we have an opportunity to do here in the United States to bring those things back together again, to bring those musicians together, to get people and youth and education and tourism spark, because it's jazz. It's an American construct. And we need to remember that, and we need to come together and do that.
So ultimately, it's evident what it's going to do for the local Kansas Cityans and the economy and everything in general. But what do you foresee in the plans of this for attracting, you know, national, international jazz musicians and attention? How do you see that manifesting over the years after this is all said and done?
Everyone is trying to expand upon their career, okay, everyone. The way to expand upon your career as a jazz musician is to be an international traveler, to be certain that all these different institutions and schools and things like that that are all across the world are part of what you do. And in Kansas City, if we make ourselves the epicenter of where you begin that travel, okay, then most musicians, like they do in Nashville and stuff, will want to come to us for that education, that opportunity, that recording studio, that thing that makes you legitimate in this world. Let's say that you're going to come here, we have a recording studio, and you record your next album here in Kansas City because of the HR 17 initiative, but you're also hooked up with somebody from Hanover that came here to do the same thing. Okay? The fusion of the music, the sharing of the music, all of that is infrastructure. All of that is infrastructure. All of that brings in a certain amount of revenue to everything that you do. Restaurants, food, schools, participation at the airport. We're building this huge new airport, right? Okay, well, if we don't have an international hub, where's that going? Chicago and New York. So this new airport has to include the opportunity to land directly in Kansas City, but you need to have the impetus to do that. What's that going to be? That's going to be this music, okay? That's going to be that. To have an international hub in Kansas City is going to be our music, our programming that surrounds that.
Let's say after this project's all said and done and we all lean back in the easy chair and just kind of look at this, what's your hope for this? What's the ultimate hope as, let's say, we reconvene on the phone in, you know, 5 to 10 years from now and say, hey, what do you think? What do you think about this project? What do you ultimately want to have happen in the future for this?
Joe, so one thing, when we talk about the project, I think there's several planks that we want to talk about. The HR 57 initiative is a plank that's surrounding the education and the celebration of jazz music and all that it's meant on society for the last 100, 120, 130, 150 formal years that jazz has been around. So I think if I'm going to look back in 10 years and say, what was the HR 57 initiative and you know, what has been its impact over the last 10 years? It's going to be an educational initiative that we see linking not only these cradle cities here in the United States that we talked about, but then because of the relationship with UNESCO, having those things in cities throughout the world, the impact with H.R. 57, our Cradles Revisited initiative, our concert series, which is launching on the 30th of April this year, is going to start expanding and really tying musicians of other cities into Kansas City, and then ultimately Kansas City musicians in other cities. So in 10 years, I'm hoping to have, you know, these kinds of jazz jam sessions happening throughout Kansas City, not only featuring Pittsburgh musicians and the Cradle musicians, but, you know, folks coming in from Austin, Texas. I'm hearing that there's a wonderful jazz community in Las Cruces, New Mexico. You know, uh-huh. Get those folks in an experience and then exporting Kansas City jazz out there. But also remember that part of what we're talking about doing is bringing jazz music into infrastructure on South Vine Street. So as part of our redevelopment efforts, we have a $200 million redevelopment that will be beginning this year on South Vine Street, south of the railroad tracks. So the impact is going to be also celebrating jazz music in the district at our physical location. So if I'm looking at back at 10 years, I'm looking at how we've had impact on these things as well. One more point, just, you know, I'd be remiss in not saying this in 10 years. This is not just how can we bring jazz into Kansas City, as I said, it's how we can bring Kansas City jazz to other places. As Anita and I have been involved in this initiative, we've had some wonderful relationships step up to the table and be involved with the H.R. 57 initiative. We're working with the August Wilson African American Cultural Center in Pittsburgh, headed by Janice Burley Wilson, the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, Terry Bell, the Kente Alliance with Suzanne Rideout, some folks in Washington, D.C. that actually were instrumental with the H.R. 57 legislation with Congressman Conyers. So we see, again, formally exporting Kansas City jazz music, and a rising tide will lift all boats. We think that if we're doing a 10-year look back, there's going to be an economic impact, there's going to be an educational impact, there's going to be a music impact, not only on Kansas City, but Kansas City's impact on these other cities formally throughout the world.
Absolutely. And for me, my musicians, you know, there was a gentleman that I was literally his protege, Eddie Baker. And the reason why we have the remembrance of how significant Kansas City was to the world was because of this one man. Okay? He single-handedly got people together like Count Basie and Clint Eastwood and Nancy Wilson and Billy Eckstein back over 40 years ago to make Kansas City remember how important jazz was to the history of America. And ever since then, I've been working on that principle, how important this is. And for the musicians, it's a beautiful return to a beautiful breeding ground. You know, they get to come in, the youth, get to come in and remember how great they were, not just through the names of the greatest, you know, Charlie Parker and Count Basie, but those who carved out a living as a musician, not, you know, working at Starbucks part-time, you know, sorry for anybody who is, but to be a full-time musician, to love to do what you do and get paid for it. That's one of the most important things, to preserve and take care of those people who preserve and take care of us through their creativity. It's got to be a better give and take given on here. And in 10 years, I see this as just like when they were singing going to Kansas City back in the 20s and the 30s. We were a wide open city, wide open. And we had work for everybody. I want to see that again.
That's a great, great way to kind of wrap everything up. Anita, Robert, thank you for opening up, shedding very needed light on this project to talk about it. And for those out there that want to know more about the H.R. 57 initiative and all of the planks that you've talked about, tell everybody where they can go and how they can get more information on this.
Well, if, right now, if you'll just send a email to creativecitykc, I will send you back information and reservations for our events on April 30th. And then you can go to our Facebook pages, Creative City KC. You can go to our Facebook page at International Jazz Day Kansas City. And you can also go to another Facebook page called the American Music Apprenticeship Program. We have all of those three that are part of what we're doing, and you'll see all of the posts and all of the information about how to work with us and the upcoming events for HR 57.
Can I take one more quick second just to mention
please.
The two events?
Please
yeah.
do.
On April 30th, we are having two wonderful events underneath the HR 57 initiative. At 2 o'clock p.m., we are going to be doing a tribute to Mary Lou Williams, who claims both Kansas City and Pittsburgh as her home. We'll be having Deanna Witkowski, an author and pianist, playing there and showing the Mary Lou Williams film by Carol Bash, and a reception. Seats are limited. And again, you can contact Anita, as she had indicated earlier. And then at Soiree Steak and Oyster House at 6 o'clock, we're actually having our all-star jam, musicians out of Pittsburgh, the great Roger Humphreys, who's a protege of Art Blakey, Dwayne Dolphin, Deanna Witkowski, Robbie Edwards, and they will be playing along with the host musicians out of Kansas City, including Amber Underwood, Paula Saunders, Jackie Myers, Ariana Namati, and Seth Lee. So that's at 6 to 9 p.m., we expect a great turnout. So, again, we hope that Kansas City will represent. I would be remiss in saying that my Pittsburgh folks aren't coming in here with our terrible towels and our Steelers uniforms. So, just understand that we're doing a little bit of a takeover of 18th and Vine. Don't mind us. We're a proud people. We are a proud people.
Yes, so. I said challenge accepted, okay? Challenge accepted.
Absolutely.
Right on.
All right. Well,
very
thank
cool.
you so much, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We'll see
you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to both Anita and Robert for preserving jazz and moving us forward into this new era. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And finally, for everything Joe Domino related, you can go to JoeDomino.com. And if you feel so inclined, donate to Neon Jazz to our cause to keep it going. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.